From our studios, we present the weekly devotional services conducted under the auspices of the Billings Ministerial Association. The program this week is under the direction of the Reverend T.F. Rutledge Beale, pastor of the First Congregational Church. The choir is under the direction of Irma Hoag Miranda. Mr. Max Miranda is the accompanist. Solos to be heard are Mrs. Hal Wilkes and Mr. H.E. Denver.
Today is being celebrated throughout the world as Reformation Sunday. It's the day when we remember the work of Martin Luther. Not the beginning of our Protestant heritage, but its reaffirmation. Sometimes people say, when did the Reformation begin? To answer that fully, I might have to go back to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. But I want to read to you some startling, stimulating, and informing words from the book of Galatians. Galatians, the charter of Christian liberty in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says, after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up by revelation, and I laid before them, but privately before those who were of repute, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, lest somehow I should be running or had run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. But because of false brethren secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom, which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, to them we did not yield submission even for a moment, that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who were reputed to be something, what they were makes no difference to me. God knows no partiality. Those, I say, who were of repute added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, and when they perceived that the grace was given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they would have us remember the poor, which very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And with him the rest of the Jews acted insincerely, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their insincerity. For when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves who are Jews by birth are not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no one be justified. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery.
Thank you.
Briefly this morning, I want to speak about what I would call the Protestant commitment. I would introduce that theme by paraphrasing the opening paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for a group of people to take a stand that separates them from the policies and programs of a great institution, such as the Roman Catholic Church, a decent self-respect and respect for the demands of high religion requires that they not only have good reasons for their action, but also that they commit themselves to something greater than that from which they separate. So indeed might our fathers have written. In fact, they did so write, not in a document, but by the vivid lettering of their lives. The Protestant movement within the great Holy Catholic Church, which comprises, from our point of view, all Christians, the Protestant movement was a restarting of essential Christianity and an effort to free the Church from hindering ideas and practices in order that it might go forward to new heights of devotion and service. It was a declaration that we want more, not less, than the Roman Catholic Church stands for. We are prepared to ask more of ourselves and to assume the responsibilities of mature Christians. We protest, that is, we set forth those greater principles with God's help, and with God's help we commit ourselves to them. It's very important on this Reformation Day to remind ourselves of this. The Protestant churches have been and still are devastated by the utterly erroneous idea of what Protestantism means. It has been taken to mean as a purely negative institution. No pope, no priests, no authority, no confessional. We want religion to be an elective matter whereby we choose what we want, when we want it, if we want it. That is utterly devastating to personality, to the church, and to society. I want to stress the positive side. Let's look at some of the things in which Protestantism seeks to move forward, the matters in which it asks more of Protestants. The mighty commitment of Protestantism. It is a movement from the headship of the Pope at Rome to the lordship of Jesus Christ in the heart. The Protestant respects the Pope of Rome as a good man and the representative of a great church, but he does not accept the authority of the Pope. He looks directly to Jesus Christ as Lord and pledges his allegiance to him, to his will and purpose, and to the fellowship of Christ's followers. The Lordship of Christ covers all life, and not only our churchly or ecclesiastical interests. It means that we will seek to know and carry out Christ's will in the home, business, politics, education, and everywhere. If we just say, Lord, Lord, and proceed to do as we please, if we merely repudiate the Pope as the Vicar of Christ and give nothing but lip service to Christ, so far from sharing in the advanced movement of true Protestantism, we are lagging behind, far behind the devout Catholics. Second, it is a movement from the dominance of priests to the priesthood of all believers. This is one of the great notes of the Reformation, a reiteration of the idea expressed in the New Testament, in Peter's letter. I quote, "Ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." Protestantism does not believe in the priesthood as a higher, holier, and special group of Christians standing between God and man. One writer well expressed it regarding the Reformation. No longer was God merely the ancient founder of the church, as if he'd set up a trust fund and stated executors with discretionary powers over the distribution of his mercies. No longer was he satisfied to permit such rationing by a legal monopoly. God is immediately acceptable and accessible, and we to him. But here is the great challenge. We are all in his presence as priests, with all the obligation for holiness and service that any priest can claim, and with the solemn obligation for the salvation of our fellow men, the obligation of leading them to God and his service. This is not the special work of a class of clergy. And more, it is not the prerogative of priests. It is the obligation of every believer in Christ. Refusing to accept the Roman Catholic priesthood does not make one a Protestant. An atheist can do that, and does. But if a Protestant does so, it is only that he may serve himself in the great priesthood of all believers. What a magnificent conception. The Protestant Church, a fellowship of priests of God, serving him at the shrine of the home, serving him at the altars of the school, the office, the workbench, the store, the factory, the surgery, serving him in a worldwide outreach of helpfulness and love, and receiving from him, at such altars, the divine blessing to be imparted to all life. Yes, Protestantism is also a movement from obedience to cooperation. It's much easier to yield to an authority. That short-circuits thinking, reduces responsibility, and hands the whole matter over to someone else. But cooperation calls for effort to understand, capacity for response, and readiness to share. Obedience, I think I say fairly, the great virtue of Roman Catholicism is a virtue of childhood. Cooperation, the great virtue of Protestantism, is the virtue of maturity, harder to get, but worth much more. Obedience to the laws of the Catholic Church has on the whole helped people and the world. But cooperation in the bonds of Protestant maturity has done more, much more, and will do so, both for the individual and for society. But to refuse the obedience that Catholicism demands and to deny the cooperation Protestantism invites, that is the way to personal and social destruction. Yes, our Protestantism is a movement. And shall I say next, it is a movement from dependence for salvation on the rights of a church to dependence on faith in Christ. That was the very heart of the Reformation. Away from magical rites, incantations, and formula, to the miracle of regeneration of life through faith in Jesus Christ. But what kind of faith is this? Is it a mere verbal statement that we believe in him? A faith that is satisfied with an occasional recognition of his right? A belief that leaves untouched, unchanged, our business, our politics, our recreational programs? 1,000 times no. That's only another form of the same superstition that trusts in ritual. The faith in Christ that saves is a living connection between his spirit and ours, bringing a transfusion of his life into our anemic souls, charging them with divine power to live on life's highest levels, making us sharers in the enterprise of eternity. That's the only salvation that matters. That is the only faith that counts. Many other things ought to be included in this brief review. And perhaps I've said enough to support the thesis that Protestantism asks more, much more of its people than Catholicism of its followers. If what we've seen together is substantially true, then it follows that the only justification for the Protestant movement is seen in this plus. If we're asking less of ourselves in effort, in piety, in devotion and dedication than our good Catholic friends do, we would be better off with Catholicism. It at least stands for something. But why not embrace our dearly bought heritage? At great cost, our fathers have won for us the opportunity for a larger life, a greater freedom, a more creative faith. Why not move up from the childhood of faith and share in the great commitment of Protestantism as becomes the sons of God and sons of the Reformation? Let us pray. O God, our Father, on this day with its burden of memory, may we all be conscious of thy presence. Help us, we pray, to realize our responsibility in the ongoing of history, that whatever there is in the world of confusion and jangle and misunderstanding today, our fathers and ourselves have made our contribution to it. There's no way out except through patient love and fearless truth. We pray thy blessing upon all branches of thy great, holy, Catholic Church. The friends in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Orthodox Church, and in all the denominations. May we move toward a more perfect understanding, led by thy Spirit in our hearts, until the day comes when all thy children shall sit down as the family of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, O Lord, my God, thou art become exceeding glorious.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, O Lord, my God, thou art become exceeding glorious. Our God is majesty, His majesty and honor, our glory is His majesty and honor.
Praise the Lord.
Services conducted this week by the Reverend T.F. Rutledge Beale, pastor of the First Congregational Church in Billings. The choir is under the direction of Irma Hoag Miranda. Mr. Max Miranda is the accompanist. This program was presented in the public interest. This is Billings, KGHL, the Northwestern Auto Supply Company station.